morning, I want to share about the Lamb. I want to talk about the resurrection. I want to talk about what we have over this weekend. And, you know, it's again, such a humble experience to remind ourselves what the sovereignty of God looks like. The fact that God has a plan, and He had a plan from the beginning, and He is in control. We spoke about it this morning as well. And that with His plan, it includes us. And we have the privilege to choose to be part of that plan. And I want to this morning just share about the Lamb of God. And I want to talk about the Passover and what it really means. You know, it's amazing to see the storyline of God through Adam and Eve sinning and being separated from God, that God made a plan that He brought us back into relationship with Him. And it started with a nation. It started with God's plan to separate a nation for Himself. A nation that then got freedom in going into the promised land, but it went through a lot of hardship. But the amazing thing about it is that before they left the promised land, there was one thing that they had to do, the Passover. And I want to talk about that this morning. So every Israelite had to make a decision in faith to believe that God will save them and their firstborns at the night where the angel would come around and take the firstborn of anyone that did not mark their doorposts. And it's an amazing time for Israel, because in the expectation that God would free them and take them from slavery, there was this final hurdle, one where God said, listen, I want you to trust me in this one. I am going to bring judgment over Egypt, but you must in faith make this commitment to me. Take the blood of a lamb that was still about a year old, and it must be without blemish. Take the blood and put it on the doorpost. Now, not on the doorstep, because you cannot walk on the redemption, the freedom that God brought. And they had to then wait in expectation that God would save them over the night when the angel came around. Listen to Exodus 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, this is now the first month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. So every one of them had to then take this lamb together with unleavened bread and bitter spices. They had to, the evening before the angel would come, sit in the home, share the meat. And if there was any meat left over, it would be burnt the next morning. Not be eaten, but burnt the next morning. Listen to Exodus 12, verse 13 to 14. It says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. So, on the 10th day, for 4 days, they would then take this little lamb, which was without blemish, and make sure that there is no blemish in it. And on the 14th day, they will take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and then they firstborn would be saved. Exodus 12 verse 43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it. So nobody that was not circumcised could partake in this promise. Now this is important. We'll talk about the circumcision later on. But nobody that was not circumcised could be part of this ritual. Verse 48. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all males be circumcised. So there was a way. And unfortunate for the men in those days, it was with a lot of pain. And then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. Now, this act of freedom, this act of being part of God's family and then partake in the promises of God was supposed to be done by every Israelite that was circumcised and had to believe that God would be their Savior. The same plan God brought to us through Christ Jesus. Was He the Lamb that we all were waiting for? Was He the one to replace the Lamb in the times that we are living? John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And for you and I, the question would be, is Jesus really that Lamb? Is He the one that helps us to pass over? And I want to take you through a few things. Let me just see how many points it is so that you can work through your time. Number eight. Okay, so there's eight things that I want to just quickly talk about in this ritual that was done 1,500 years before the real Savior came, the real Lamb of God. And the first one was the Passover announced the new year. The first month of Nisan, the year starting and fresh revelation and fresh impartation, where the Israelites had the expectation that new things are coming. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that we are the new creation. That Jesus brought to us the freedom to be reconciled by with the Father, and that we have the opportunity to become a new creation. The Lamb was searched, number two, for any defects 4 days before the Passover. Now, what was interesting is Jesus came into Jerusalem 5 days before the Passover. Now, He came into Jerusalem, and you guys will remember, there was shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, and the palms were thrown in front of Jesus, and they said, you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And with those expectations, people said, the real Savior came. But 4 days later, He was crucified by the same people. So He came into Jerusalem. He was then examined for 4 days as the Lamb to see if there was any blemish. And then after 4 days, listen to Luke 22 verse 15. Then He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Just before Jesus went to the cross, that night He would sit down with His disciples and He would say, let me redefine the Passover. Let me redefine how significant this time that we are spending together and whatever I have done here on earth is to your lives. He sat down with them and He gave them bread, and we'll do that at the end of this service. And He said, this is My body. This is the Lamb. I am the Lamb that brought redemption to each one of you. And by the blood, by the wine, Jesus then said to His disciples, that by this blood you are free, you are partakers of this new covenant. So, Jesus had the Last Supper with them, Matthew 26:27. It says, then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And then Jesus went through immense investigation. Listen to Matthew 26:63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to them, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Look now, you have heard this his blasphemy. Now we know that Caiaphas tore his clothes. The sign of a high priest in the days of the temple, in disqualifying himself, taking himself out of office, was to tear his clothes. And then to take off the mantle that was given to him as the high priest to perform his duties. Without that, he could not perform the duties. At the time that Jesus went to the cross, the high priest disqualified himself for service. And this is quite a significant thing if we look at what Jesus came to do at Calvary. The Passover lamb kept quiet. Isaiah 53 verse 77. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Pilate announced Jesus not to be guilty. Matthew 27:24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this man. You see to it. Luke 23:44. So Pilate said to the chief priests and crowd, I find no fault in this man. The lamb was found not to be guilty of any sin. Number three, it had to be a ram. Jesus was the Son of God. Number four, no broken bone. Jesus was martyred, but no bone was broken in his body. So it was the use in those days that if you hang on the cross and you come to a phase where people were wondering if you're still alive and actually wanted to lead you to your final death, they would break your bones on the cross and make sure that that leads to your final death. They did not do that with Jesus, because he was already dead. And so no bone was crushed. Now, I just want to bring context to this amazing story of Jesus, and I want to remind you of this, because at the ninth, at the third hour of the day, which is about 9 o'clock, Jesus went to the cross. Now, this is quite a significant time of the day. It was a day when people started with their daily activities, and here this commotion is happening. Jesus is going to the cross, and then it says at about the sixth hour, they gave him the vinegar to see if he's thirsty, and then at the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, this was the time when Jesus blew his last breath. Now, I want you to keep this in your mind, because at this time, there's a lot of other significant things happening in Jerusalem. With Jesus coming into Jerusalem and entering into the city on the fifth day before, and then the fourth day, you know, experiencing a lot of hardship, there's this commotion of every family coming from afar to bring their little lambs to be slaughtered so that they can receive freedom from sin. So there's commotion happening in Jerusalem. And this is the time when there's an expectation for people to be freed from their sins. Yet at the ninth hour, we know that the high priest would then offer the lamb, the lambs for every family, so that they will receive their redemption. And this is the hour when the high priest receive his cloak, Jesus, when he blow out his last breath and he takes his part in history. The fact that Jesus chose to be the high priest for each one of us. Now listen to this. Isaiah 52 verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was made more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Hebrews 10 verse 10 to 12. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It's a significant time, is it not? Time when Jesus was ready to be slain as the perfect lamb. Caiaphas being disqualified, and then the veil was torn. No sacrifices happened on that day because the temple almost came to destruction. Hebrews 10 verse 19 to 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Number 5, the Israelites had to exercise their faith that God would spare their firstborns. As they did this, the same is so true for us today. We must, by faith, receive Jesus as the Lamb so that we can have the freedom of a relationship with the Father. Number 6, trample on the blood. Hebrews 10 verse 28 to 29. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God under foot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Taking reverence, taking a stance of understanding that it's not cheap. There's a sacrifice that Jesus came to make, and that sacrifice did not come cheap. And for us, living a life for Christ, we know that whatever he has done for us is special. And then the meat was barbecued over the fire and ate with bitter spices and unleavened bread. Jesus went through the bitter experience of Golgotha for us because he loved us. Number 8, you had to be circumcised to be free. Salvation replaced circumcision. And that's why you and I make a choice to serve Christ and to receive the King of all kings, that he would reconcile us with the Father. Colossians 2 verse 11. In him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know what's my expectation on a day such as this? Is again to have a revelation of how significant Christ came to reach us in a time when 1,500 years after God has instituted the Passover. At that time, no Israelite knew that the lamb would come. Can we just quickly get the bread and the wine? That we sometimes forget the sovereignty of God and his plan to humankind. the fact that you and I, you know, live lives and we sometimes forget what Jesus went through as the high priest, as the one that would go to be slain for each one of us. And then the soldier would stand next to Jesus and they would put the spear into his side, and the water or that went over his hands because Jesus was dead, can we hand it quickly out, brought him to a realization, this soldier. What did we do? What have I done? To not recognize that this man was more than just a man walking this planet. This man was so significant that he became the high priest for me. And all that I want us this morning to do is to again be honest with ourselves about this relationship with the King of all Kings. As we take the communion and we're going to serve one another, to this day, no sacrifices was done in the temple again after the veil was torn into pieces, because Jesus came to reconcile his people with the Father. And I guess a weekend like this, our greatest conversation must be, where do I stand with the Father? You know, Jesus was willing to go all the way to the cross for the significance of reconciliation. Do I have the relationship with God that I really understand what He has done for me? I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask that you turn to one another and serve one another with bread and wine, because this sacrifice was not cheap, but what a blessing it is that we can be free and that we can have a life in abundance. Our high priest is on the throne. He went into hell and He took the keys and He brought freedom to each one of us. Let's quickly turn to one another. Father, we thank You. As we use the communion this morning, as we celebrate You, Jesus, being the high priest, being the one that went through a lot of hardship to the cross, and You died so that we can have freedom. Thank You that You are the high priest, interceding for us and reconciling us with the Father. Thank You for this weekend, that we can put this as a memorial stone to You forever. That what You've done for us is precious. We this morning come to You with reverence, because You are holy, because You are sovereign. You are beautiful, Jesus. And we choose to follow You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's quickly turn to one another and serve one another with bread and wine. Amen.